was cutting it very close, Rangers.
We wouldn't let you down, Demetria. We all know how important this is.
It is time to proceed with the ceremony.
Yo, it's all set and ready to go. Right this way, Rangers.
Come on, Alpha.
Right behind you, big guys. A couple of friends to drop by and join in the celebration. Oh, yo, there they are now! Zordon!
Rangers, it is so good to see you again. Alpha and I are honored to participate in this historic transformation.
Aye, aye, aye! We wouldn't miss it.
We have gathered here to honor each of you for your dedicated service as a Power Ranger. Your courage and loyalty has known no bounds. However, as each Ranger reaches your stage of life, it becomes our duty to set them free to discover all that the world has to offer them. To that end, you have been asked to select an outstanding individual who will take over as your successor. We welcome them now into the Power Ranger family.
I wouldn't be standing here today, TJ, if it weren't for your courage and strength. I choose you to lead the team as a new Red Ranger.
You've showed compassion and integrity, Ashley. I choose you with pride to be the new Yellow Ranger.
Cassie, you came to my defense. I know you to be loyal and trustworthy. You will bring honor as the new Pink Ranger.
You'll be the new Green Ranger, Carlos. You've proven yourself to be decisive and intelligent.
What about me? What am I, chopped liver?
Young Justin. You will continue on as the Blue Ranger. Where there is evil, beware. Where there is destruction, be warned. This new team of mighty warriors will know no rest. Power Rangers, the legacy continues.
From the Command Center, Episode 8.
Welcome back again to the collaboration between the Pop Culture Network and the Geekcast Radio Network. This is From the Command Center, the podcast, episode 8 this time. I'm your boy, Scotty Cash, and joining me from the GCRN is...
TFG on Mike. Hello.
What's up, buddy?
Tito was wrong, dude.
We're just going to have to do this and just get it done.
Tito was wrong. This, oh, God. Oh, that stupid chihuahua. If this is torture, chain me to the wall. No, this is torture. Oh, God. In this episode, we're going to be talking about Power Rangers Turbo. And even when I got the email from Spada, he's like, I'm sorry. I hate Car Ranger. I hate Turbo. This isn't my best work. I listened to the clip. He sounds fine. You guys will hear it later, but I don't see how anybody can like this series. This series is so horrible.
I agree.
They basically do nothing with the character development, as I mentioned last time. Nothing with Tommy, Kat, Tanya, Carlos. The only bit of character development is that Rocky got injured during the movie, and he does make a brief appearance in Shift into Turbo, but other than that, it's basically bringing in the 12-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
which is ridiculous.
You know, when they first did this, I thought, because I think I heard something about this back then about, you know, them bringing it in or bringing a kid in. And I'm like, oh, wait, maybe it'll be Fred Campbell, the Gold Ranger from the end of Mighty Morphin the movie. And I was like, that would be kind of cool if they kind of did that. But no, they weren't thinking about that at all. So getting into this, it's the fifth season in the long-running series of Power Rangers. The show was prefaced with the second movie in the franchise, Turbo, a Power Rangers movie. Like its predecessors, Power Rangers Turbo included footage from the Japanese television show Super Sentai. In Turbo's case, from the 12th series, I'm just going to call it Car Ranger because I can't pronounce the beginning part of that.
It's, Car Ranger works.
Yeah, Car Ranger. The series featured the departure of the long-running characters Zordon and Alpha 5, as well as the team of Rangers, Sans Justin, and introduced four new characters that take the place of the veteran Rangers. All right, so we both probably never saw this series when it aired because we were, you know, young adults getting ready to graduate high school and everything else. When I came back to Power Rangers years later, I watched this, and I kind of liked it at first just because of the fact that it was continuing Tommy's story, but over the last, I think, what has it been, a month and a half that we've had to watch this series, I've been able to watch majority of all the episodes, but just torture, just God, I mean...
Yeah, I was literally, I watched one through three perfectly fine.
Yeah.
I watched 4 through 7, 4 through 8, something like that. And I was dozing off, no joke, throughout the episodes. And I was like, I just can't, this is so boring and so terrible. I couldn't stand Alpha's voice. Zordon left out of nowhere and they brought in Ricky Lake, and it was just god awful, and it was just like,
I would have actually preferred Ricky Lake to this.
She would have had some what do you call it here? Some charisma? No, not charisma. I don't know. She would have had some kind of like. I just hated that chick. She was like, she always talked real low, and it's like, what a terrible, terrible replacement for Zordon.
As the, I'm so glad after this. Starting with In Space, they just do series, they do recast every series instead of having a long-running series, you know, 5 seasons per series and then constantly rotating cast out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that they stopped doing that because from Mighty Morphin to now, the changeouts have become so horrific.
Yes.
You know, Kimberly's story, that was an actual story. She went somewhere. The Jason, Trini, and Zach thing, that was an actual 2 or 3 episode story that took, you know, that gave you reasons why they're leaving. It, you know, gave you some sort of closure that, oh, hey, they're leaving. We need to say goodbye to them, blah, 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 blah. Even Billy's story about him, you know, journeying off to Aquitar, even though behind the scenes, David Yost basically walked off set because he was being made fun of and being, you know, verbally abused by some producers and stuff. Even that story, regardless, was a story. Whereas, you know, Carlos and Ashley, two of the new ones, they just show up as background characters that Adam and Aisha kind of already know. I mean, Adam was training Carlos, and Ashley, she was just there in the background as like a waitress slash helper, I guess.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And it's too quick.
Oh, yeah, blew my mind.
The transition is just way too fast from old cast to new cast. I don't dislike the new cast. I really like them because they are something different. As I've said up to episode 5 of this podcast, you know, after a while, the original cast, as good as they are, obviously they want to move on and do other things in their careers as Hollywood celebrities or whatever you want to call them, movie stars, TV stars, whatever. And the new cast is fine, but just the transition between the two, it was too quick. It's like you blink and you miss it.
Zordon calls everybody to the command center, and he's like, "Okay, guys, you know, this is where we're gonna go ahead and, you know, pick new Rangers." And his reasoning was, "Once we've taught you everything you can be taught about this, you must move on and build your own character."
Actually, it wasn't Zordon. Zordon had already left. It was Demetria, and Zordon and Alpha showed up for the ceremony. They had already gone at that
point. Oh, yes. Yes, you're right. You are right.
They had already shot off to Eltar.
Yeah, for no good reason out of nowhere. See you guys.
And you know, remember when I first approached you with the idea to do this show, I told you about the Alpha switch. And you're like, "I don't remember that." I'm like, "Dude, just wait."
Yeah, yeah.
Because you went from a little bit annoying Alpha voice in I to yo, yo, yo.
It's a girl doing it. First of all, it's got to be. And it's terrible. I couldn't stand it.
Alpha 6 is horrid. The story of TJ and Cassie coming in, I like that because that does show them, you know, going to help Tommy and Kat. But again, the whole ceremony of the power changeover, they've known these people for in the timeline of the show, I would say it's maybe been a month and a half, 2 months.
Well, no, because the Red Ranger and the Pink Ranger save them. And it's like the next episode is when they get their powers.
Yeah.
So it's like, "Look, I know nothing about you, random chick and black guy that were on this bus. You are now Power Rangers."
Yeah.
This is crazy. And I did actually like, though, how, and I'm sure they did it to reach out, but it was the first time that they had a black leader.
Yeah.
And I can only assume that they did that on purpose. And I'm, you know, To try to bring in more of the African community, just kind of like when they did with the Super Friends or whatever, when they brought in all the ethnic characters.
Yeah,
you know, they were probably trying to reach out to the other race, trying to bring them in. But yeah, I'm definitely with you. When they first changed over, I was like, "This is just stupid." But it seems like, I was saying earlier before we started recording, that it seemed like the story got a little bit better with the new cast. It almost seems like they had the old cast in there to get people to keep watching. You know what I mean? Because maybe they thought it wasn't going to do that good because, well, it's goofy ass cars. So they're like, "Well, we'll just have Tommy and everybody come in and then we'll switch it. And hopefully they'll keep watching." So You know, I think they did. I think they did a really good job. You know what I mean?
And the worst thing about this, one of the worst things about this series outside of the main cast, is Bulk and Skull.
Oh God, yes.
Elgar turns them into monkeys.
Well, first they're invisible.
No, they're invisible at the end.
Oh, you sure?
Yeah, they were turned into monkeys first.
And then they were invisible?
Yep. Because they, yeah. Yeah, they were, yeah, because the very first episode, Elgar's right. at the power plant, right. and he hits him with that ray. They turn into monkeys. They're monkeys for the entire series.
Yep, you're right.
And then in space, when, I think it's at the end. I don't know. They were monkeys first, then they were invisible, and then they were invisible for like an episode and a half. And then they became visible again because of something exploding and making them visible again. I don't know. But yeah, going from being themselves, being all these odd end jobs in Zeo and all that, to being monkeys for the entire series. Now, I know that Paul Schrier and Jason Narvi did vocals, obviously. They did voiceover. I'm not sure what they were doing behind the scenes.
Point their hair out because it was terrible.
Probably. But usually when you have something like that where characters are changed into this, or, you know, once we get down the line to Dino Thunder, you know, Tommy is frozen in the suit. You know, he can't demorph. It's the same thing here with the monkeys. It's because of the actors either have other obligations or they just don't want to be in the show all the time, or, you know, something like that. It's usually a production cost is why they do stuff like this. And it's just horrible.
Yes. you think there's anything good about this season?
I don't even want to even cover the Turbo Morphers or any of the weapons. I mean, they're just there. The Zords are just there. The one thing I will say is I like that they didn't know, and this is the beginning, which is silly to me, but I like that, you know, whenever they get a new vehicle or a new power, I think they need to learn it before they just automatically know it. And I liked in Shift into Turbo how, you know, pulling the Megazord together was a little bit difficult because they were just getting used to those Zords. I kind of like that.
Yeah.
But overall, I would say Shift into Turbo, three-parter. Passing the Torch, two-parter. And Chasing to Space at the end are the best episodes.
I liked the only thing I can take away from this series is I liked the way that the Phantom Ranger looked, and I liked the blue Centurion.
Yeah.
I liked the way he looked. I liked how he was like a robot cop from like a different dimension or whatever you want to call it. What's the word I'm looking for? You know, and I just liked the way he looked altogether, and I liked how he had his own Zord and everything. And that's literally about it.
Yeah. See, the funny thing is, and I don't know if this is a production cost or not, in the beginning, he would grow himself.
Right.
And then they bring in this police Zord to, you know, just have him pilot. I don't know if that was a production cost or not, but his Zord was pretty cool.
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, he's pretty cool. Really, it's not so much the actors that I have an issue with, whether it be Tommy and that crew or TJ and the new crew. It's more so the plot lines and the storylines of every episode.
Yeah.
Every single episode. Elgar, take this detonator down to Earth. Elgar, do this. Elgar, do that.
It seems like they saved the better plots or better part of the story for the new cast. It's kind of like, you know, they used the old cast to get everybody interested, and then they kind of did a little bit better storyline, because like the first 9, 10, 11, 12 episodes are just horrific. They're just terrible. I mean, the whole season's bad, but it just seemed like, I don't know, maybe I just got used to the terribleness. You know, because it got to a point where, you know, let's be honest, I sent you an email and I was like, Mike, can you please just do me a favor and send me a list of the episodes that I must watch, because I literally cannot, I just can't do this anymore. Dude, I'm just sleeping through these episodes and then I have to rewatch it five times, you know.
I'll be honest. After the first 18 episodes, I would watch maybe five, like from episode 19 to probably episode 45. I would watch like the first 5 minutes. I would see that Divatox had another detonator, another monster. Some of the monsters are all right. Some of the monsters are kind of cool, but the main thing was her obsession with detonators, and it's like, oh god,
pretty terrible.
Yeah, it was.
Well, then they ended up being sisters, right? The
yeah, Divatox and Demetria were the sisters.
Like really? Come on.
And it's only because Carol Hoyt was playing both characters.
Yes.
So as far as the transition from Zeo to this awfulness, the only explanation for the transition from Zeo powers to Turbo powers is that in Turbo, a Power Rangers movie, Zordon states that if Divatox and Malagor teamed up, not even the Zords, reference to the Zeo Zords, would be enough to stop them. Therefore, Turbo Zords were created, which combined would be the most powerful Zord ever created. The origin for the Turbo powers was never divulged, as well as the Zordon saying the new Zords you are now creating, implying that they were quickly created during the coups of the movie. Course of the movie, although it was speculated that Billy created the Turbo Powers and Zords himself during the course of Power Rangers Zeo, this supported by previous red herring that Billy would make himself scarce whenever the then mysterious Gold Ranger was around at the time, leaving fans to believe that Billy was the Gold Ranger instead leaving to work on the new Turbo Powers. Now that I can kind of, like, Billy, you know, thinking ahead and planning ahead, I can accept. Like, if he made the Turbo Zords, if he created the Turbo Powers, if he worked on them himself. But, again, the problem is, Zordon specifically states that during the transformation from Zeo to Turbo in the movie, that they are creating the Zords themselves at that moment. And it's like, what?
It's ridiculous. I will say this about the Zords. You know, although it's obvious, I don't like car Megazords or car Voltron or any car anything. I do like the way they looked when they were in Megazord mode.
Yeah.
They really did look sharp. I liked the colors a lot. I liked the rescue Zords. I liked the way they looked, too. I liked the Blue Centurion Zord. I mean, they all looked really, really badass. I will say that.
The only issue I have with the Zeo Mega, or not the Zeo Megazord, Jesus Christ, the Turbo Megazord, is the final move that they always use, the spinning, the final strike spinning sword attack.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. There would be puke all over the inside of that Megazord, because it's basically a very large tilt-a-whirl. Because they even show it with both casts. They show it with the Tommy cast, and they show it with the TJ cast of them spinning around in the Zord. And I'm like, that's making me dizzy. The lack of information on the fate of the Zeo powers allowed a popular Power Rangers hoax named Scorpion Rain to gather credibility as a fan video explained not only the fate of the Zeo Zords, but why Lord Zedd and Rita Repulsa retreated after having previously destroyed the threat of the Machine Empire. Scorpion Rain would survive for years as an urban legend in the Power Rangers fandom, with its canonicity, even after being admitted to be a fake, brought to question one of the hoax's perpetrators worked on a future episode of Power Rangers Wild Force Forever Red, which made several references to Scorpion Rain. I've never seen Scorpion Rain, so
this is the first I'm hearing or knowing of it, is what you're saying right now.
Yeah.
I'll have to Google it.
You'll have to look it up after we're done here. In the end, however, no canonical explanation for the fate of Zeo powers has ever been released by the creators, so it assumed that both Zeo Zords and the Zeo Crystal still exist on Earth, but just not used. I don't know.
Well, they're going to stay unused, too, because every single season of Power Rangers, you know, they have to get bigger and better Zords because the last ones weren't powerful enough. So you can't go from Samurai to 10 seasons ago where, you know, we need to go back and go back and get these powers that weren't strong enough to beat these guys, but they're for sure beat these guys. You know what I mean?
Well, I think they could, like, say they wanted to bring Cat back for a season as a special guest. They could bring back the Pink Zeal powers for, you know, those anniversary episodes, like what Tommy and all those guys were in Forever Red. Mm-hmm. Adam was in Once a Ranger on Overdrive. You know, if they're going to bring someone back with powers, they could do it that way. But as far as them being used again in future seasons or series, no. They're just lying dormant somewhere. Oh, my God.
Did you like the Phantom Ranger?
I like the Phantom Ranger, but I hate the fact that we never find out who he is.
Yeah, it was a terrible story.
I liked it to a certain point. I like the character design of him, but the problem is, as you said, it's a terrible story because one of the reasons why it's a terrible story is because we never actually get a fucking story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't get to know who he is. They, you know, start this, you know, star-crossed lovers syndrome between him and Cassie, you know, this unyielding yearningness, but they never ever pay it off. The suit was cool.
Yeah, it looked awesome.
I think before our heads explode, we're going to send it over to Spade of the Bolt Matrix and hear what he has to say about the Sentai Car Ranger.
Hey gang, Spade of the Bolt Matrix here on From the Command Center, and this time we're talking about the 20th installment of Toei's Super Sentai series, Geki So Sentai Car Ranger. Airing from 1996 to 1997, Car Ranger is considered by many to be the show that saved the Super Sentai series. More on that in a minute. While the USA version retained the same Zords, costumes, and weapons, there were major differences between Car Robots and Turbo. First was the plot. Dapu, from the planet Hazard, meets 5 employees from the Pegasus Auto Garage and empowers them with Kuru magic to fight the reckless alien driver gang known as the Bozok. The Kuru magic, or car magic, comes from the 5 legendary car constellations. And where do I even begin with that? Car constellations. Oh, Japan. Needless to say, this is a little bit different from the way things went about in Power Rangers Turbo. Now, Car Rangers action is split between hand-to-hand combat and actual road combat. If you watch the beginning of Power Rangers Turbo, you will see a lot of Zord road combat. Well, that was prominent in Car Ranger. It was in almost every episode. The road combat is also where the series really shines. The developers of the show created miniature radio-controlled cars and made entire combat sequences around those radio-controlled cars. Each ranger had their own Kura car, or the Zords, and each Bozok had their individually animal-styled Bari cars. You had gorillas, fish, dogs, scorpions. It was really neat and really interesting. Speaking of the villains, they themselves are actually really unique and interesting, and very, very different from what we saw in the U.S. Gynamo, Rygog in Turbo, is the leader of the Bozok gang. Grotch, Porto in Turbo, is the inventor of the group and is responsible for growing the monsters. And Zelmoda, who was Elgar in Turbo, is the second in command of the gang and Gynamo's best friend. The last member of the group is Lady Zonite, who, through most of the series, has this weird crush on the Red Car Ranger, or Red Racer, as they were called. Now, that's really weird, because you have this one female who, and let's not beat around the bush, she's really scantily clad. It's kind of disturbing how little she actually wears. But she has this crush on the Red Ranger who doesn't really notice she exists for most of the series. And then she disappears, and then she comes back. It's just, she's a very strange character. Also, the three villains, they're not really super evil. They're more like kind of an inept biker gang. And that really kind of plays into the overall theme of the show, as in the overall tone of the series is very, very light. There are tons of gags and jokes, and the villains themselves are not really that threatening. They are somewhat destructive, but they end up blowing up the same section of town over and over and over again. If you go back and watch the series, it's the same section that they're blowing up, just from different angles. And that's really due to the fact that the budget for the show was cut a little bit. And that's something that we really need to get into, is this was kind of the last hurrah for Super Sentai. Super Sentai, up to this point, was really going downhill in the last four or five series. And it wasn't for lack of trying. The popularity of the series was just plummeting. But because of these gags, and because of everything else that that Car Ranger brought, the show was a phenomenal hit. I mean, it was huge. Power Rangers was back. Now, getting back to the villains, the only real menace of the series came from when the big baddie, who originally sent the Bozak to Earth, Emperor Exos, he attempted to crash their fortress into the Earth, and was stopped, and everybody was happy. I wish there was more to it, but that was really the last five, six episodes of the series. Now, at the end of its run, as I said, Car Ranger had all but saved Super Sentai. At the series' start, Bandai was ready to give up on the whole franchise. But, thankfully, Car Ranger saved it, and it's still going, and Super Sentai is still going today. Now, there are a lot of more cool things that I could have talked about in this brief, but I really wanted to give you guys just an overview, because, well, there's a lot of wacky zaniness out there. In no less than three different episodes, there is a large amount of cross-dressing for no reason whatsoever. Now, I strongly suggest you go to SuperSentaiTimeCapsule.com to take a look at the show, because, well, besides the few things that I've mentioned, yeah, there's a lot of zaniness, but not much else is different. We still have the Sixth Ranger being what is known as Signal Man in Japan, and he's just as stupid there as he is in Turbo. So this is a very weird series in the fact that it kind of goes completely off the rails at one point with its comedy, but then brings it back to being a little more serious at the end. And that is going to show up again, or that theme is going to show up again when we get on to Power Rangers RPM, and when we talk about Go Onger, which is its Super Sentai equivalent. So, this has been Spada from the Command Center, and I'll catch you next time. And if you'd like to hear more from me, please check out my YouTube channel at www.youtube.com/BaltMatrix. Now, back to TFG1 Mike.
Thank you for that interesting, yet very short, opinion on Car Ranger, Spada.
So Spada is pretty much saying that Car Ranger saved Super Sentai?
That's pretty much what happened in Japan. Because of all the wackiness and zaniness and comedy bits, it saved it. Because it was initially going to be the last season, or they, you know, actually In Space was probably going to be the last season. And In Space was so much better than Turbo. So, but yeah, Car Ranger apparently saved Super Sentai in Japan.
Yep.
I don't know how cross-dressing people can say, you know, I don't have an issue with people who cross-dress. That's your lifestyle. I don't care. But yeah, I just don't know. And as far as, that's one thing we really didn't bring up was, for us, was Divatox's outfit. Yeah, Divatox is barely wearing anything.
I think it's hot.
I think it's hot, but I mean,
not for this, you know, kids show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's a difference between, you know, a feature length film with a chick in a, you know, green bikini that turns into an owl, compared to a weekly, almost daily TV series with a chick that has scantily clad pirate gear on. Honestly, as I said before, for me, the only episodes that I will probably ever go back and watch with this is the three-part opener, Passing the Torch, two-parter, and The Chase into Space, two-parter that ended the series. Now, I think we do need to talk about Chase into Space. Hold on while I die over here.
Before you die, what the heck was I just going to say? I was like, oh no, don't die, and then I forgot what I was going to say.
Chase into Space closed the series very well. You know, you have an actual story where, you know, Justin has a choice whether to go with the Rangers or go with his dad. They have this whole thing of Diva Talks, because in an earlier episode, her brother came and gave her this space base. Well, they want to go attack her at the space base because she finally found the command center and destroyed it. And this is the last time in Power Rangers history, as far as I know, that we ever see the command center. It's after this series, it's gone.
I'm pretty sure you are correct.
Because
from here on out, we always have new people every rip, and they have, you know, their own new headquarters.
New headquarters, new worlds, new this, new that. The really only gripe I have about Chase into Space is that the dumbass of the entire series was the one that got the bright idea to destroy the transport tube. Are you serious? They let Algar destroy the transport tube? Really? And since when have Piranatrons been intelligent enough to use a battering ram or to use grappling hooks to get up to the roof?
That's true.
I mean, Piranatrons are like reject foot soldiers from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Foot soldiers are smarter than these guys. There's no way that Piranatrons would have the same intelligence as a foot soldier that Shredder built.
Right. I did like their song, though, dude. I really did. That was funny. It was so terrible that it was funny, because I was like, what song is this? And they're like, they were just pretty much hating on the Pythonatron, or the Pythonatrons, and it was, it was funny.
The music in this series was slightly, it's not as good as other series previous, but it was still very good. Like I said, I liked the theme. I like the one song that Wasserman sings, which is, if I could ever find the folder, let me see here. Let's see, where is that song? I don't know. What are your thoughts on Chase into Space?
To be honest, when it ended, I was actually quite mad because the way it ended, I was like, this is stupid. Just a way to cap off a terrible, terrible season. But then the more I thought about it, it was actually like a real TV series cliffhanger. Like, you don't know what's going to happen. And they were trying to bring people in for the next season. And that's what I was going to say a second ago. I looked everywhere for TV ratings on Turbo, and I couldn't find it anywhere. I went to websites. I typed it in Google, all kinds of different ways. I just wanted to see what the ratings were of like Zio, and then I wanted to see what the ratings were of Turbo, or even, you know, any of them for that matter, just to kind of try to compare them, or maybe even Turbo at the beginning and Turbo at the end. But, you know, I never could find anything. But the more I thought about it, the more I liked it a little bit more, how it was actually like a real season or a real series. Episode, you know, or season ender.
Yeah, well, it was a series ender, but it was also a continuation for series, because this is the first time that you really have a full-on series season finale that has to be continued next time in Power Rangers. You had a whole story of them. I mean, they set up going into space very well.
Well, Power Rangers Season 3, they did the same thing, because they blew up the command center, so you went into Zio not knowing what the heck was going on.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
But besides that, that's about the up to this point.
Because season three, that's all you had. I mean, because season one, you didn't have a cliffhanger or a real finale. Season two, you didn't have a cliffhanger or a real finale. You get to season three, and then, you know, they blow up the command center, and the crystal is lost, and then they go into Zeo, and it has a continuation. So, yeah. So I guess, you know, going into Zeo was the first real story. But, I mean, this is the one that, you know, really kicks off the fact that, you know, next season is going to be... It's still going to be them, but it's going to have all kinds of new villains and new heroes and new this and new that.
It is the same cast?
Yeah.
Do they do the entire season?
Yeah.
You know what? No, you know what? Don't tell me. I think
yeah. Yeah, they do.
Don't tell me.
The only change really
is... Who's the long-haired guy with the blonde hair?
Oh, you'll find out.
Okay, well, don't tell me no more. Let's not talk about that yet.
I'm not going to tell you now, but what I was going to say was the only change in the cast is the fact that Justin stayed on Earth with his dad.
Oh, thank you, God.
You don't remember that in Chase into Space Part 2?
Well, yeah, but just thank you, God, because he was just like, no, you guys better go. I got to stay here or something along those lines. I remember getting extremely excited.
Yeah, Justin stayed on Earth, so it's basically four Rangers going into space, and then... they introduce a new Red Ranger in space. So there is that. And I guess we're going to go to some ads before our brains explode, and we'll come back to close the show after that.
You can now hear the KidCast Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free use and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear KidCast Radio, you'll have a chance to win money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. During registration, hit the promo code box and enter KidCast Radio, all one word, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episodes of the shows will be waiting for you and your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code KidCast Radio when you register.
Movie Week in Review is the KidCast Radio Network's weekly movie podcast. Steve and Mike take a look back on their favorite films and give you their thoughts. They also bring in co-hosts at times. If you are a movie buff, listen to MWire only on geekcastradio.com.
You're listening to a podcast on popculturenetwork.com. Be sure to head on over to the site at www.popculturenetwork.com to check out more podcasts and videos featuring toys, comic books, video games, and all the things you love. And while you're there, be sure to check out the Pop Culture Network store, where everything you purchase helps to keep us producing. Just head over to popculturenetwork.com and click on store.
What it is, friends. Sween Hollick here, inviting you to join me every Monday for Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk. What's that, you ask? Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk is my weekly video series in which we take a look at my favorite toy line of yesteryear, Vintage Playmates Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. If you're a green teen goer, I'm betting you'll have a great time getting reacquainted with old friends or meeting new ones for the first time. That's Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk at www.radicalretro.com, part of the Pop Culture Network.
So we are back, and before we close the show, one thing I forgot to mention, did you have any of the toys for Turbo at all?
No, absolutely not. I did not. I had Tommy at one point, and that's about it. I'm not even sure where the heck that is now, to be honest with you. I mean, I wouldn't mind having the Megazords now that I watched it, because I really do like the way they look, but that's about it. That's about all I can take away from this series. I wouldn't mind having the Blue Centurion's action figure, because he was kind of cool, even though he was writing parking tickets through some of the episodes.
And he got beat down by an old lady when he malfunctioned.
Yes, he did.
All right, so overall, no one should be forced to watch Power Rangers Turbo ever. And this is coming from two really, really huge Power Ranger fans. This series was awful. in plot.
I would love to hear the fans' feedbacks. Like, if you dislike what we're saying, why don't you email me or Mike or go to the iTunes account and post something. Tell me what you think. What am I missing here? Because from the beginning to the end, it was terrible.
Yeah.
There was never a part where I was like, oh, wow, this is actually getting good. I mean, not one part. And like I said in our episode 7 that we did of Turbo the Movie, you know, most of the time I try to, you know, make the best out of, you know, the episodes. But this there's just no doing that this time. It's just bad.
No, it's just bad. I will post up on, because I still moderate the announced thread, the announcement thread over the PCN forums. I will post up that we did record these episodes, and after these episodes are posted, I'll make a post in there saying, hey, if you disagree with us, let us know.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, we want to know if anyone really liked this series or if it's, you know, is it? I know Linkara didn't like it. Linkara over at That Guy with the Glasses, because that's how I actually prepared for this episode. As I watched his reviews of his History of Power Rangers episodes.
I always forget about that dude.
Yeah, he's awesome. So, thank you for joining us here on From the Command Center. There are several ways to get in contact with us to leave feedback for the show. Visit the network websites geekcastradio.com and popculturenetwork.com. Join the forums over at Pop Culture Network. Leave the show feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter. My name there is TFG1Mike. You can follow Pop Culture Net for all the Pop Culture Network updates. You can become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. You can also search out Pop Culture Network on there. You can find the award-winning From the Command Center video series on PCN's YouTube channel at www.youtube.com/user/PopCultureNetwork. Call the voicemail line. Tell us a short message for and your name, 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed or, you know, agreed or disagreed with us for this episode of From the Command Center, and wish you'll join us next time when we will be continuing the Power Rangers talk as we head into Power Rangers in Space.
Yeah.
For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Scotty Cash.
Until next time.
To be continued next season, Power Rangers in Space.
As long as I exist. light. It's your move.